Hi, this is Pastor Eric Dalma from Gospel of Grace Fellowship. It is our privilege to present to you this classic CIC radio broadcast. We pray that God uses it to encourage you in the gospel and equip you to discern truth from error.
This is Dick Cuffell, your host for the next half hour. We're speaking today with Bob DeWay. Our topic today is Spiritual Warfare, A Battle of Two World Views, Part 3. Third part on this one, Robert. We've covered some interesting material so far. Let's start out today with the secret knowledge is forbidden.
Yeah, do you want to read that passage, Deuteronomy 29:29?
Sure. Deuteronomy 29:29. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our sons forever, that we may observe all the words of this law.
All right.
So we're talking several things.
Okay.
Revealed in Scripture. Beyond that is not revealed and is a cult. Okay, we know some things in Scripture. Beyond that, it's a cult.
Okay, well, how do we know anything about God?
Through Scripture.
Because he spoke.
Okay.
Right.
And we know a little bit through general revelation.
But not enough to save us.
No.
So God has spoken.
Yes.
And it's obvious it's talking about Scripture because it talks the words of this law. In that case, Moses, this is Deuteronomy, so all they had was what God gave to Moses at that point.
Yes.
All right. And in Deuteronomy, the same book, in chapter 18, divination is forbidden.
Yes.
Because that's how people access the spirit world outside of God.
Yes.
So we know what God's told us about him in the world we live in, including whatever spiritual knowledge we need from the Bible.
Yes.
And we can access the rest of the world through general revelation, which is anything that's observable. Okay. You can till the ground. You can learn how to be a farmer, an engineer, and what have you.
Correct.
That's not forbidden.
Yes.
All right. But what about the spirit world that exists outside of what Scripture says?
Occult.
Well, that's what the word occult means. So in the seminar I did, I made a slide. It has sources of knowledge. General revelation, gained by the senses and evaluated by reason. Special revelation, God's inerrant word. Occult knowledge, information from or about the spirit world not revealed by God. That's so-called.
Yes.
And when people like C. Peter Wagner are telling us that we need to go to the shamans, the spiritists, the New Agers, so on, and interview them, and we might find some accurate information. We talked about that, I think, in the first session.
We did.
All that information is forbidden. It isn't okay if it turns out to be accurate. That's where he really makes a serious error. The issue isn't whether it's accurate or inaccurate. It's where did it come from? Okay? If it's not from general revelation and it's not from special revelation, it's from the occult.
I think pragmatism just died here.
Well, whether it's accurate or not doesn't make it any less forbidden.
Yes.
So maybe Satan told somebody a true thing through a demon for the purpose of telling a bigger lie in the long run.
Yes.
It's still forbidden. It doesn't matter if it's accurate or inaccurate.
Yes.
It's forbidden. Why? Now, I'll tell you why it's forbidden. Because God has our best interests in mind. The idea to have spiritual knowledge that God hasn't revealed is what Satan used to tempt Adam and Eve to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil.
Correct.
Okay. This is a lust that the human race has always had. And all societies have it. All pagans have it.
Yes.
And it's called the occult. And they all have practitioners, as we said earlier. So how can a Christian tell people that they can go get information from demons or spirits as long as it's accurate?
It's scary. Well, I don't know how.
Anybody could see how horrible this whole process is.
No, that's not good. Well, we've talked about any number of those things. And just a simple thing, that special revelation, Scripture, what God wants us to know. We talk about it around here all the time. What does it mean? What are the implications? What are the applications? The meaning and implications in the Scripture and the application, use our head and do the
applications are logically connected to the meaning.
Absolutely.
Okay? If they're not, then we're back to divination.
Man.
You can maybe use the Bible as a divider's tool. I mean, people do that.
Bible dipping?
Yeah, they close their eyes and poke their finger in, and whatever phrase it lands on, it means some secret thing.
Yes.
Well, that's not how the Bible is designed to be used. It's designed to be read so that you get the author's meaning, and we're bound to that meaning, and only valid implications and applications that come from that meaning.
Yes.
Anything else is not really God speaking to us, even if it came from the Bible.
Wow.
The Jehovah's Witnesses use the Bible. Mm.
True.
But their theology is not God speaking to us.
True. Absolutely.
Because their teachings don't bring out true, valid implications and applications.
Okay, you'd commented that Wagner, his comment was, our criteria for evaluating this material should not be limited to the five senses, and we've kind of discussed a lot of those elements. And then you moved on to talk about spiritual technology.
Yeah, but he makes a serious error, though, because here's what he says. Spiritual discernment certainly constitutes at least some of the dimension of the image of God in which all human beings, Christian or non-Christian, have been created. If this is correct, then human beings can and often do possess valid information about the spirit world.
Yeah, he did. He said that.
So he's telling us that we can ignore Deuteronomy 29:29 and Deuteronomy 18. As long as we can get valid.
And how are you going to get valid?
Well, it's invalid for the Christian because God said it is.
That's exactly right.
And once you get it, whether it's accurate or inaccurate, is not even of any concern because it's still from a bad source. And it's forbidden by God. I don't know why that's so hard to understand.
Okay, well, is that where he's coming up? It's Wagner again in the next quote. Is that where he's coming up with experimental is spiritual technology?
Yeah, right.
So now we experiment?
That's what I call spiritual technology. We're going to experiment to see how the spirit world ticks rather than rely on what God has said. Well, this guy has a huge movement that he's calling a reformation. You and I are looking at this and say, this is so seriously wrong. It's unbelievable. And maybe some of our listeners aren't in that kind of a movement. If they've been listening for a long time, they probably aren't because we've been warning about it. But you have friends and relatives and cousins and people that probably are. This is a very, very huge movement. There's thousands and thousands of people in it. And they think Wagner's telling them what they need to know. And this is so seriously wrong. It's shocking.
Well, I think that we probably have some listeners that are saying, hey, why are you even wasting time on this? That's absurd. That movement is getting big.
It's big. It's huge. It's unbelievable. And it's all over the world. It's really strong in South America. I was flown down to the island of Barbados to do this seminar because it had come onto their island and was infiltrating the churches. I got a call from a pastor the other day who lost one of his children to this movement. And they won't listen to a word that their dad, the pastor, says because they believe the experience they have when they go into the movement. It's experience driven.
That's sad. Oh, that's really sad.
It is sad. Here's what Wagner says in Confronting the Powers, page 89. In his book, I am not claiming biblical proof of strategic level spiritual warfare, spiritual mapping, or identificational repentance. We do have sufficient biblical evidence to warrant a working hypothesis we can field test, a significant, relatively new spiritual technology God has given us.
This is appalling. Okay.
So you're going to field test the spirits?
Yeah. Field test means you've packaged the thing to the point where you understand it thoroughly enough that you can take it out there and see if it really does work. You can turn it on, turn it off.
You used to do that with cookies.
Yes, right.
And then cupcakes or whatever.
I've done that with food.
And that's your career.
That's it.
That you're retired from.
That's
now,
true.
I mean, and that's legitimate. Why? Because
it's reproducible, for one.
It's from general revelation.
That's true.
And you can know about ingredients and processes, and you can have people taste something to tell whether that's something that would be pleasing to them. Or not pleasing, you're using objective material from the five physical senses and you're using rationality to identify it.
Yes.
But now we're going to take the same idea, technology, and we're going to go in the spirit world and field test the spirits. Okay? And what are these things he's talking about? Strategic level spiritual warfare. What's that? Well, it's going up to the principalities and powers that are over the various nations or cities or whatever.
And I think we talked about that in the first section.
Yeah, and so we got to do something about that because they're causing a problem.
Well, and we did spiritual mapping.
That spiritual mapping, and then identificational repentance. We didn't do that.
What is that?
Let me give you an example of it.
Identificational repentance.
Maybe some of our listeners heard about this one. There's a guy from YWAM who was rallying people to go retrace the steps of the Crusades to repent on behalf of the church for the Crusades.
Oh, my.
And so the identificational repentance is saying we're owning the sins of the Crusaders, and we're identifying with them and repenting.
Now, is that going to cleanse the land so it doesn't have generational curses, or what's the deal?
They think that that's going to resolve the fact that Europe is sitting in spiritual darkness. It's going to release the church from curses. It's going to cause revival. And so rather than traveling along to preach the gospel, they travel along to identificationally repent on behalf of the church for the fact that their crusades happen.
Wow.
Now, where do we get this? Well, it's not in the Bible. Okay, so you believe these kind of things, like this whole crusade thing that they were doing, you're running around in the spiritual wilderness.
That's true.
You don't know that God is pleased with this, and you don't know that it's doing any good. You're doing an experiment. I'll tell you right now, I think their experiment failed. Do you see revival breaking out all across Europe and Rome and everywhere else because these guys did this? It's unbelievable. And I'll tell you what, guard your young people from these groups.
You know, let's talk about that for a moment. We talk about this a little bit flippant, and I actually found that your response to it almost humorous. You know, you're kind of animated sitting here in the studio. But the reality is we've got folks out there that are buying into this thing and losing their children as a result of it.
Yeah, they're losing their children, including a pastor who called me. They're losing their children. And once the children decide that this spiritual technology is more exciting than dry old Bible study that the parents are offering in their churches, it's almost impossible to get them back.
You know, it's interesting. That's almost a works orientation. You know, I'm going to go out there and work and do this thing, and that's going to solve the problem.
Well, wait, it's totally against the gospel.
Yeah.
All right, now, or the Great Commission. Did Jesus commission us to go do these certain things? If your kids get in these groups that are teaching this stuff, they are given experiences.
Yes.
And there's one parent that I was talking to. He said, I don't know what I can do. And I said, I'll tell you what. Pray.
Start there.
Pray for your child because it was an experience that got them into it. And I would tell them the truth from Scripture, but they plug their ears. They don't want to hear it.
That's true.
They don't care what the Bible says because they're quite sure that us ordinary Christians are a bunch of adults that haven't had the upper level experiences that they do.
True.
So they don't listen to us because they don't think we understand the spirit world because that's where they're going. So that's why the prayer is so important, because in my case, it took me 5 years to get out. I was a young person.
Yeah.
This happened to me.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm not just making all of this up and sitting in some ivory tower at some seminary having never experienced this. I was young. I was a pietist. I wanted to be more spiritual. I wanted to have power over the demons. And I went into a place to do it.
Yes.
24 hours a day. And I had teachers warning me against it from Scripture that I refused to listen to.
Did you?
When I was in Bible college in the early 70s.
Wow.
And I later wrote one of them and thanked him for what he did. Talked about this before. He pointed me to Colossians 2 because he knew that's where the correction for my ear was, but I couldn't understand it and I couldn't listen to it. And why couldn't I listen to it? Why was I reading Watchman Nee when he warned me against it? Because of my experience. And the people who were providing the experience were hyper pious.
Experience is strong stuff.
It's strong stuff. Well, these people weren't wicked sinners. They weren't child molesters and bank robbers and schemers and stuff. Most of the people in the movement I joined were very pious people, devoted to prayer.
Yes.
Okay. But they were led by experience.
Yes.
And I'm telling you, experience is not adequate in the world of the spirits.
Yes.
Because the spirits can give you any kind of experience that they think you'll believe is from God.
Yes.
They can make you feel warm and fuzzy on the inside. They can make you feel like, oh, I love everybody. Everything's so wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
You got to go by the Bible.
True.
And then people say, well, why would the spirits give somebody a good experience? To deceive them. What do you think their role in life is?
Yeah.
They're deceiving spirits.
Yeah.
Okay. And deceiving spirits, you can see the same thing in a New Age or the spirit guides. They will get accurate information that actually helps people solve problems.
Yes.
Okay? So guard your children. Be careful where you send them.
Yes.
We talked about that before. And we need to demonstrate, and that's why we're doing this radio show and I write these articles, that we understand this stuff.
Yes.
And we know what's wrong with it.
Yes.
And that we know for a fact that you can't base your spiritual beliefs on experiences. Now, God was gracious to me, and that's how I want to encourage parents. Maybe your kids are already into this stuff. Pray for them. God was gracious to me, and I didn't deserve it. I never did. Nobody ever did, I guess. But yeah. I know I didn't, because I refused to listen to people that told me the truth, went in after the experience, and finally it was God sovereignly allowing an experience to help me get out of it. I'm pretty sure we told a story on the radio before about these one person in particular. It was just incorrigible, and all of the problems and the demons and spirits, and I went on and on and on, and I finally... I was wore out after years. I couldn't take it anymore, and I cried out to God for an answer. And the answer came in the form of the scripture that we'll eventually get to here from 2 Timothy.
Outstanding.
And changed the whole direction of my ministry. Now, would to God I started in the scripture.
Wouldn't that be an idea?
Well, it would have saved me 5 years of misery.
But there's an element of this thing, too, that I think that is pietism.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. Pietism is what deceived me. If Watchman Nee wasn't so pious, at least according to what people said about him, I wouldn't have believed what he told me about demons.
Yes.
I thought he was a pious man, so maybe God told Watchman Nee something.
Okay. So he wanted to be a better Christian. And
yeah, and Watchman Nee wasn't telling people to go out and be impious sinners.
No, that's true.
Okay. So, brothers and sisters in Christ, we just need to really, really understand how badly we need the scripture and how badly we need to understand it. And how badly we need to accurately interpret it and apply it. Because the spiritual technology that C. Peter Wagner is telling us is bogus. We cannot use technology to manipulate the spirit world.
Okay.
So he calls it relatively new spiritual technology God has given us. I thought the Bible claimed to have been given the faith once for all, delivered to the saints.
Yes.
So why did God leave the church in the dark about spiritual technology all those centuries?
Well, they didn't have the spiritual map figured out yet.
Okay.
So see, that's how come. Okay. Well, side comment. One more comment here, and then I think we want to move to 2 Timothy.
All right? Yeah, which I just alluded to.
Okay. We are unfaithful to Christ if we fail to do and teach things not found in the Bible. That was what your statement was.
Well, let me quote from the same page where he says new spiritual technology.
Yes.
It's new. It's not from the Bible. Yeah. But here's what C. Peter Wagner says. If this be the case, refusing to use it on the part of some might be to run the risk of unfaithfulness to the master. Now I'm unfaithful to Jesus Christ because I don't do what he didn't tell me to do?
Incredible.
This is, I'm at a loss for words. It's outrageous. It's outrageous.
Yeah.
And this is a reformation?
Yeah. We're not going to get that one fixed today, I think. Okay. 2 Timothy, we're going to move on to the providential worldview. All right? I don't know how far we're going to get to it with
good.
It today.
But... we desperately need it.
Do you have 2 Timothy 2,
yeah, I got it right here.
Verses 24 to 26?
Yeah. Okay. Let me read it. And this was the verse that got me out of that.
Ah.
This was the verse when I cried out to God. And I couldn't take it anymore. The same people kept coming back with demons.
Okay.
This was the verse. Here's what it said. And the Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all, able to teach, patient when wronged, with gentleness, correcting those who are in opposition, if perhaps God may grant them repentance leading to the knowledge of the truth, and they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will.
That's excellent.
Well, I'll tell you how I thought. Now, this was 1979. All these years, all of this misery, the spirits and the demons and the manifestations and all this stuff. Okay. I said, I can't take it anymore. Now, I'm reading this verse.
Mm-hmm.
And I read the verse 26 really caught my attention as well as the whole passage did.
Mm-hmm.
Escape from the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will. All right. In my mind, and this is a valid way of looking at it, can you get any more in bondage than be captive to do the will of Satan?
No.
I said, okay, so if this is how God delivers somebody in the worst possible bondage,
okay,
well then, it should be the way to deal with anything lesser.
Absolutely, absolutely.
If there is anything lesser, I got to. How do I do it? No. It says that we should be kind, able to teach. Well, we were shouting, and there were times where people were holding people down because they were manifesting the demons and people shouting at them and stuff like that.
Yep.
Well, that's not what Paul said. He said just teach them the truth. God will either grant repentance or not, but if he does, then they'll come out of their bondage.
Mm-hmm.
So that verse right there totally changed my life.
Amen.
And I said, okay, I'm going to start teaching the Bible. That's how God's going to deliver people from Satan. I'm going to teach the Bible.
If perhaps God may grant them repentance.
I don't have the power to grant repentance, but God does.
Yes. Wow, that's great. I like that. Okay. And that was back in 79?
That's when I first saw that verse. I obviously had read it before because I read the Bible a lot, but it's the first time I saw its implications concerning deliverance.
Okay, well, let's take that as a launch point and talk about the power of God.
This is what caused me to go astray. I thought that the gospel was just sort of a starting point, and then you get all these other things that are more interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But the Bible says in Romans 1:16-17 that the gospel is the power of God, not deliverance technology.
That word technology keeps throwing me. That's true.
Well,
it's the gospel.
I've used the term for years about these processes being spiritual technology.
I know you have.
Well, here in this broadcast, I just quoted C. Peter Wagner using it, saying it's a good thing.
Well, it's a legitimate use. Technology is the application of science to solve a problem, right?
Yeah.
Basically, it's a technique.
Yeah, process. Learning a process that'll get you the results.
Yes.
And so we're going to learn a spiritual process to get the desired results.
Absolutely.
Without depending on God through the gospel.
Okay, but not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God.
Yeah, 1 Corinthians 1, 22-24, it says, we preach Christ crucified. People by one science, they may well look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, it says. And so that's where the power of God is.
Amen.
And that's where the wisdom of God is.
Amen.
So let me talk about that a little bit here.
Okay.
Let's kind of bring it back to this providential worldview.
Yes.
Okay. Providential worldview. God is in charge of his own universe.
Yes.
Providence contains good and evil.
Yes.
Because it involves everything that happens.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So God allows evil.
Yes.
But he has a greater good in mind.
Yes.
Okay. And which is revealed in Romans 8:28 or 8:28 down to the end of Romans. Now, in the providential worldview, we see God as sovereign. God is the one who grants repentance. God uses means. The means he uses are the preaching of the gospel and the teaching of the Bible. All right. That's how we know the spirit world,
mm-hmm.
and it's how we get out of the satanic part of it.
Okay.
Okay. Because the Bible says the whole world lies in the power of the evil one.
Yes,
in 1 John. No.
Yes.
C.B. Wagner's spiritual mapping would be real easy. Just throw a globe on the table. See, there's what's in the power of the evil one.
Mm-hmm.
As far as in his rebellion.
Yeah.
The map is just monolithic. It's one big world under the power of Satan. Why? Because of its rebellion against God and against the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
The only way to escape is through the gospel.
Amen.
And if we wanted to see people escape from Satan and demons and the power of darkness, and we were really sincere about that, we would preach the gospel even more.
Mm-hmm.
The more we preach the gospel, the more people will come to their senses when God grants them repentance, and they'll escape.
Yes.
That's the providential worldview. Now, I don't know who's going to repent, but God does.
True.
So I'll preach the gospel to everybody. And as you know, Dick, wherever I go, whatever I do,
absolutely,
I preach the gospel. The older I get, the more committed I am to the gospel. I just did a funeral yesterday.
As it should be.
I preached the gospel at the funeral.
Hold it. At a funeral. What was the response?
The Christians were excited that I did this. It was a funeral for a 90 guy, almost 93.
Yep.
That I had known off and on. I knew his family, but I knew him some too, over
sure.
30 years. And he came to our church 5 years ago. I mean, he'd been there before, but 5 years ago he came and he heard me preaching the Word of God, and I always preach the gospel. At this point, he's in his late 80s. So he comes up to me and he says, I have a favor to ask. I said, what is it? He said, when I die, I want you to preach at my funeral.
It's 5 years ago?
Yeah.
Oh, I love it.
He was already planning what songs are going to be sung and everything else.
Okay.
You know? So I said, sure, I'd be honored to do that.
Sure.
Well, he finally died. Mm-hmm. And so what I did was I took 1 Corinthians 15, and I took all those verses that normally are read at funerals.
Yes.
And at the funeral, for my sermon part, I said, well, you hear these things, but you just, oh, yeah, those are the funeral verses.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let me preach them to you. Let me explain what Paul means and what the issues are and why you need to know what he said about this.
Outstanding.
And so then from 1 Corinthians 15, I preached the gospel. I talked about in Adam all die, in Christ all are made alive. And then I went from 1 Corinthians 15 into John 5, where it says that there's a resurrection unto judgment and a resurrection unto life. And then I explained, the resurrection's not good news unless you have the resurrection unto life.
Amen.
And how are you going to have that? Well, it says here that the ones that do good deeds have a resurrection unto life, and the bad deeds unto evil. We have to keep reading, because we might think, well, gee, I did more good things than bad things.
Right.
But that was in John 5. Go to John 6, and it tells us what the one good deed is, and it's not really a work, but this is what Jesus said. They said, what must we do to work the works of God? And he said, this is the work of God, to believe on him whom the Father sent. And I shared the gospel. Okay.
Fantastic.
This man, God bless him, a godly Christian man, that place was full of grandchildren, and many of these grandchildren were solid Christians.
Wow.
And they loved hearing the gospel. And I talked to a bunch of them afterwards. We had a meal. And they said, I don't know how you knew it, but that's exactly what grandfather would have wanted. That's exactly what he wanted to hear preach at his funeral.
It's terrific.
And I said, well, I think he heard me preach. He knew I was safe that I was going to preach the gospel. But now, why would we do that? Well, because we know about Satan and demons and evil spirits and curses and all this stuff. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There's only one route of escape. But the spiritual technology, the warfare worldview, doesn't see that.
Mm-hmm.
In their mind, they're living in a world where the spirits are interacting with them and one another. God is out on the sideline. God has a role in this warfare worldview. Okay?
Okay.
According to their mind. God's role is to feed us information by personal revelation or power or experiences.
Oh, okay.
So God's trying to help us in this process, and we're just not so good at getting it, and so we kind of are interacting with God on the side over here and the spirits and trying to figure out how God's going to help us defeat all these spirits.
It's amazing.
Which is how I used to believe.
Yes.
But the providential worldview, the whole world lies in the power of the evil one.
Mm-hmm.
The only escape is the gospel. Preach the gospel. If you preach the gospel, those who repent are saved.
Amen.
Okay? Mm-hmm. And then once they're saved, teach them the word of God. Teach them the whole counsel of God. Why? Because people aren't sanctified because somebody casts out a spirit of lust. People are sanctified by the means of grace. And so we teach the Bible to Christians. They grow in respect to salvation, it says in 1 Peter 2.
Amen.
2.
Amen.
That's what I've been doing since the early 80s, when I realized that my whole worldview was wrong.
Let's try two final verses. One of them, Jeremiah 17, and the other one from Galatians 3.
Okay, what we're going to do is this is going to give you a little foretaste of what our next session is going to be about, which is going to be about blessing and cursing. Because this is a major area where people are deceived, okay?
Okay.
So here's the verse, Jeremiah 17, 5 through 8. This isn't all of it, but this is just a segment of it. Blessed is the man who trusts in God. Cursed is the man who trusts in man.
Oh, amen.
Keep that in mind.
Yep.
We'll explore it more next time.
Okay.
And then Galatians 3:14. In order that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we may receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now, one of the things the spiritual warfare people are concerned about is blessing and cursing.
Yes.
And I'm going to give you next week a real easy, clear way to understand it that's so much better than what most of the teachings are out there.
Outstanding.
We're out of time for this edition of Critical Issues Commentary Radio. We want to remind you that you can access this program at our website at cicministry.org. We want to remind you of Philippians 1:27, stand firm in one spirit, with one mind and strive together for the faith of the gospel.